Well, we come to chapter 15, message 71. What Mark just read, the first 15 verses, bring us to the point in the accusations and trial of Jesus of following immediately what had happened in chapter 14 throughout the night. We don't know the exact time Jesus was arrested. Perhaps Thursday evening after sundown. And he's taken from the Garden of Gethsemane to the house of the high priest. Other people, Pharisees, scribes, Jewish council members, and chief priests have been summoned. Some scholars have said this is an illegal arrest and trial of Jesus. But throughout this night, many witnesses have been called to testify about Jesus. And they could not agree what the charges were about Christ. The witnesses could not agree. Even several men misinterpret Jesus' teaching that he would destroy the temple in 3 days and rebuild it. They could not even agree on that. So the high priest steps in to question Jesus. And he says, "Are you the Christ or the Messiah? Are you the Son of God, the Son of the Blessed One?" Very direct questions. How does Jesus answer? He answers that "I am," same phrase used in John 8 and in Exodus, probably took the high priest by surprise that Jesus says, "I am." And then he says, "You will see me sitting at the right hand of power." So Jesus is affirming that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, who will sit beside God the Father. And then he adds, "One day you will see me returning to earth, riding on the clouds." Now, no man who is delusional, who is a mere man, or just has a complex of being a savior, can do these things, can say these things. The response of the high priest, he understands clearly what Jesus said, and he tears his clothing, and he said, "We don't need any more witnesses. We don't need to continue this drought that has gone on throughout the night. He has blasphemed God. And he asked the Jewish leaders, what do you think? And they all answered, he's guilty. He's deserving of death. We need a place to worship that's not the landing zone. But after Jesus said that, and he's condemned by the council, they start to mistreat Jesus, mock him, slap him, strike him, tell him to prophesy. Who struck you? Now, Mark ends chapter 14 with Peter's denial and Peter's sinfulness. He picks up chapter 15. And I want you to remember that Mark is writing to a Roman audience. They're not concerned with the details of Jesus' lineage of prophecy in Roman or Jewish law. Sorry. So, Mark doesn't give all the details that Matthew, Luke, and John give us. That's why I had to read Mark or John 18. There's more details. I'm not sure why the feedback. But Mark picks it up. And it's very simply 2 points. Jesus before Pilate, then the choice, Jesus or Barabbas in Aramaic. So, immediately, after the high priest tears his clothes and the court condemns Jesus, they start abusing him. But immediately after they consult, they decide they have to take Jesus as a prisoner bound to the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. It's early in the morning when Peter denied Jesus, the rooster started to crow. So we can assume it's around sunrise, maybe 6 in the morning or so. Some scholars feel this is AD 27 or 28, and that Passover would have occurred in late March or early April that year. So Jesus, after consultation, is taken bound to Pilate. Now, why do they take him to Pilate? There's only one real reason. They have condemned Jesus, but they do not have the power to put Jesus to death. So they're going to go to the only authority who has that power. It's the Roman governor. We just know his name is Pontius Pilate. History tells us he ruled Judea under the authority of Emperor Tiberius from 26 AD to 37 AD. We don't know a great deal about him, except that he was probably had a military career, and he was probably of the upper class, because his wife, his name Claudia Procia, and she is the granddaughter of Tiberius. So he may have gotten this political appointment because of his connections. But he's had a difficult time. The Jewish people are difficult. And Pilate angers the Jews. One time he put shields around Herod's palace with Tiberius's picture on it. And that caused a lot of distress. Tiberius actually wrote him, told him to take the shields down, and he refused. Another time, he put flags all over Jerusalem with Tiberius' picture, and the Jews said, "We can't have a graven image. It's God's against God's command." Thousands of Jews showed up at this courtyard of the Praetorium, said, "You either kill us or take the flags down." Pilate almost killed them all, but he relented. Another time, some Samaritans were looking for artifacts on Mount Gerizim in Samaria, and Pilate had them all massacred. So Pilate is a mean man, and he had crucified in his reign about 2,000 people. So now he's brought to Pilate as the only one who has authority to put him to death. There's only one reason. They want Jesus killed. They don't want him smacked or scourged. You know, think about it. Getting scourged is not pleasant. For most of us, that would be saying, "Okay, I learned my lesson. I won't do that again." But they're not content. They want Jesus taken care of. Now, in a way, they are fulfilling God's plan and biblical prophecy of what the Messiah came to do. And so, Pilate looks at Jesus. Think about these things. The Jews go to this massive government building where official Roman business is, where there's a military garrison, where Pilate lives. But the Jews, the leaders, say, we won't go inside, lest we become defiled by being in that Gentile place. Understand also that it's probably only the people from the trial, and maybe 100 or so other Jewish people. We don't know the size of Jerusalem. It's estimated between 50 and 100,000. But during Passover, Jews came from everywhere. And the population, some people think, could have been 1 to 2 million. Now, the vast majority of people don't know Jesus has been arrested and condemned. They're still asleep or getting up to do their day. Perhaps, you know, open their shops. Perhaps celebrate the Passover. So think of this. For example, Upper Darby is about 80,000. Look how spread it out it is. Many people don't know what's going on in the courtyard of the Praetorium. So the mob is perhaps a few hundred. Maybe some have come because they just been curiosity seekers. Maybe some were bribed to come. Maybe the 11 other apostles and some others were there. Perhaps Jesus' mother. Perhaps Peter and John and others. Now, again, Pilate's a mean person, but he's probably greatly upset that he's been woken early in the morning for the legal matter that should have been dealt with by the Jews. How would you feel if you were the magistrate and all of a sudden there's a crowd of people asking for you to condemn this guy, and you got to interview him? He might not have had breakfast yet or his coffee, so he's probably testy. Think about it. And this crowd of people led by the chief priest are saying, this man has to be put to death. Now, Pilate, they don't come in and up into the Praetorium to meet him. He has to go down, probably speak down from a balcony to them. And he has to have Jesus, the prisoner, brought up by Roman soldiers so he can talk to him. And what does he see? He sees a guy who's starting to get beaten. He's tired. He hasn't eaten. And what's he wearing? Just normal clothes from an average person, a carpenter. He doesn't have a crown, a scepter, a royal robe. He just looks like an average guy. So Pilate says, are you, little old you, are you the king of the Jews? It's like Pilate can't believe what you see. They woke me up in a legal dispute saying this guy is a king. He doesn't look like a king. He doesn't look royal. Where's his court officials? Where's his lawyers? Where are his soldiers? You are a king. Now Jesus answers in the affirmative. Yes, it's as you said. And Pilate is wondering, why are they bringing this guy to be condemned? So Bart tells us that the priest, the Jewish leaders, were saying all sorts of accusations. He said he was the Messiah. He said he was a king. He said he's the Son of God. He said he would sit at the right hand of God. He said he would return to earth riding on the clouds. He said he would destroy the temple. Now, some of this probably got Pilate's attention, because it's a serious thing of terrorism to destroy the temple. And for someone to say, I'm a king, well, there's only one king. His name is Tiberius. But Mark tells us that in talking to Jesus, and we get more details from John, are you a king? Yes, my kingdom's not of this world. My people would fight if it were. So Pilate has interviewed Jesus back and forth, perhaps a couple times. But his conclusion is, so what Mark says, there one Jesus condemned, not because he's a lawbreaker deserving death, but simply they are jealous. They are envious of Jesus. Why? Because many Jewish people like his teaching, like his miracles, and believe he is the Messiah. The leaders don't like that. Now, I also want you to think about, it's the leaders, the high priest, the chief priest, the Pharisees, the scribes, some of the council. I don't think Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea are there. But it's just the leaders, not the whole Jewish population of Israel, not all the Jews scattered across the empire. So when people say it's the Jews' fault, it's really the leaders who hated Jesus. Now Jesus, when these accusations fly, Jesus doesn't say anything. Didn't the Old Testament say he was like a sheep led to slaughter that did not open its mouth? And Pilate says, are you, you don't have any defense? Now, guilty people usually start to defend themselves. That guy did it. I'm a victim. I was just a passenger in the getaway car. Whatever. Jesus doesn't say anything. Mark says, Pilate is surprised. He marvels. He may even be exasperated. What am I going to do? This guy won't even say anything. He won't even say, yeah, I'm guilty. So Pilate, he's between a rock and a hard place. What do I do with this guy who's supposed to be a king? Now we know from other gospels that Pilate, when he found out Jesus was from Galilee, said, oh good, Herod the Tetrarch of Galilee is in town. He's at his palace. Send Jesus to Herod. Remember, there were four sons of Herod the Great who died in 4 BC. Herod Agrippa is the provincial puppet king over Galilee. His three relatives rule other parts. So Pilate's like, good, I can send Jesus legally to King Herod. And Herod is like, oh, good, I've always wanted to meet you. And Jesus doesn't answer King Herod. So Herod concludes in his questioning, I don't see any fault with him. Take him back to Pilate, the governor. And we're told that up until that time, Herod and Pilate were enemies. But after this, they became friends. So Jesus is brought back sometime. Now, this all could have taken a couple hours. But now, Jesus is back before Pilate. And Pilate is trying to figure out what to do. Now Mark tells us that there's a strange custom. So this is the second point. The choice between Jesus and Barabbas. John said the Jews had a custom. Here Mark says, Pilate, you have a custom. It's Passover. You can show mercy to a prisoner. So the crowd is saying, release somebody. Now, Pilate might have been thinking, I can ask them to release this lowly guy who they said's a king. The matter will be closed. Or maybe I got a bunch of prisoners in the jail. I can get some common thief who, like the guy at Les Miserables, stole a loaf of bread. I can get... I can release some guy for who cheated on his wife or, you know, stole a few coins. But the crowd isn't buying that argument. The crowd says, he says, should I release King of the Jews? What should I do with him? And the crowd, now they've been stirred up by the priests. Again, maybe people in the crowd, told by the priest, get everybody chanting, crucify, crucify, those things. Maybe some took a bribe. The crowd says, no, don't release just any thief. Release the baddest guy in the prison. Release that guy named Barabbas. Now John said he was a criminal. He was a robber. Mark and others said he led a rebellion in Jerusalem, an insurrection. In other words, he was trying to overthrow the Roman government. And people got killed. So he's basically a domestic terrorist, a murderer. Now, the crowd and the priests are saying, no, not a low thief. Give us the bad guy. Give us Barabbas. Now, some scholars dispute these things. This is only this event about Barabbas is only recorded in the four Gospels. And some scholars say, we don't believe it's true. Why would Pilate release a rebel? He would bring judgment on himself from the emperor. And that's a good point. But here's this guy, Barabbas. You know, when most English people say Barabbas, the Aramaic name, Barabbas, it means son of the fathers. Some manuscripts say his name was also Yeshua. Jesus Barabbas. And some speculate that they wanted him released despite his crime because he was called Son of Fathers, because he was the son of one of the members of the Jewish council. He was literally the son of one of the Jewish fathers. So from the crowd's perspective and the council's perspective, he did a good thing. He tried to overthrow the despicable Roman authority. We like that. Plus, he's one of us. He's, so to speak, kinfolk. So, they're calling for Barabbas. Now, the interesting thing about it, do you want the criminal, the son of the fathers, or do you want Jesus, the Son of the Father. Son, it's Barabba, Barabbas. And what do they say? We want Barabbas. Now, you can kind of imagine. Pilate, perhaps, is sitting on that judgment seat, on that balcony. And he might even lean forward or stand up, say to the crowd, why should I crucify this man? What has he done? He's trying not to crucify Jesus. And the crowd now keeps shouting, crucify, crucify. And this might have gone on. Not just one shout, but now, Mark says, Pilate, has to make a hard decision. He has to choose. But Pilate, you know, he may not be a good person, but he has to make a decision on behalf of the Roman government. Is it better I release a criminal? Or am I going to face a huge riot on the day of Passover? Now, we've seen riots all over our cities the last 5 months or so. Think how Pilate's thinking. If I let Jesus go, and he's innocent, the whole city is going to burn on Passover. I can't have a riot, especially when there's perhaps a million people here for Passover, people going to the temple to have thousands of lambs. It's a big day in Jewish culture. It's going to be nothing but trouble. And if I have to call in the troops and maybe other garrisons from like Caesarea, I mean, heads are going to roll and it's going to be my head first. Now, in a way, Pilate is a crowd pleaser. But he has a legitimate concern. The other Gospels tell us he calls for a bowl of water. And he symbolically washes his hands. It's all on you. Now he probably can't just speak an order. He probably has to write a written order of capital punishment and give it to the soldiers. But Mark says, I'll release Barabbas. Take Jesus inside the military complex to the garrison of soldiers and have him scourged. And then, not just scourged, again, scourging is so brutal. A lot of people would have said, okay, enough. I'll go back to my hometown and shut up. But this is God's plan of redemption as prophesied. So Jesus is taken from the Praetorium Hall, where he's severely beaten and whipped and mocked as a king, with the purple robe and the crown of thorns. Now again, Mark doesn't tell us much of the details, but this is where we end the day. Why is Jesus brought to Pilate? Simply so he can be put to death. And the Romans, yes, they hang people. Yes, they beheaded people. Yes, but they invented crucifixion. And Jesus had prophesied in Mark 10, I would be executed by the Romans. And he had said to Nicodemus in John 3, except a man, the Son of Man, be lifted up, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, there is no forgiveness of sins. And John said, he said that to point to how he would die. So this is fulfilling God's plan for Jesus to die a horrible death amid much humiliation and suffering on a cross that day. Now, by the time Pilate has had Jesus scourged, the death order signed, a cross made ready, probably carries a crossbeam, Jesus is led through the streets of Jerusalem, outside the city walls, to a place in Aramaic called Golgotha, because it looked like a skull, or in Latin, it's Calvarium. It means skull in Latin. Jesus is taken to the cross. Just a couple questions to think about. I want you to continue to read Mark 15 for the future. But we know Mark tells us the soldiers put Jesus on the cross at 9 a.m. So this whole procedure has only taken maybe 3 hours or so. So a couple questions. Why was Jesus crucified? Several answers. One, it's God's plan. Two, it's the hatred of the Jewish leaders and the mob. Three, it's the Roman soldiers and Pilate's decision. And it's a fulfillment of prophecy And the question is, next, who's responsible for Jesus' death? Now, sadly, Christians in history have sometimes just accused the Jewish people. You killed Jesus. You're the scum of the earth and persecuted Jews because of that. But again, it's not the whole Jewish nation. It's not even the whole city of Jerusalem that morning. It's this crowd and this Jewish leadership. It's Pontius Pilate. He's the one with authority. It's Herod. He could have stopped the process, but he didn't. He sent Jesus back to Pilate. But you know, the hard thing to remember is that Jesus died for the sins of the world, for his people. And the hard thing for us is to realize I could have been in the crowd shouting down, "Crucify Jesus." It was my sins that helped nail Jesus to the cross. That's a sobering truth. So I want you to think about, how do you see yourself in the events of this morning? How might you have reacted? Perhaps out of fear or unbelief. The apostles and some others could have been in the crowd saying, "No, release Jesus." But they're shouted down. Or they may have been quiet out of fear. This is not an easy situation. But ask yourself, would I have stood for Jesus? Would I have compromised my faith? The last question is, if we do that, do you see how we make light of the person and work of Christ for his kingdom, for his church, for his people? If the police came to our door, said, "You're under arrest because you're a Christian," happens in other countries, do they say, "Jesus or Caesar"? Brothers and sisters, let's think on the sobering events of this story we've read many times. Jesus condemned by Pilate. Jesus released instead of a criminal. But this was God's will. This is God's plan of redemption. And we read earlier the heel of Jesus would crush Satan's head while his heel is bruised. This is Jesus' foot firmly on Satan. But this day shows Jesus being bruised. But at 3 o'clock, when Jesus dies, Satan is going, "Ah, I won." But 3 days later, Satan's defeat is evident because Jesus conquers sin's death in the resurrection. Let's pray. Father, there's a lot of sober facts and truth here. We might have acted as wicked as the priest or the crowds. We might have denied Jesus as Peter did. We might have ran away in fear and unbelief. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen us, that we would choose to serve Jesus, no matter the trouble or the circumstances. Father, strengthen us to follow Jesus. And thank you, Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Amen. Thank you. I want to respond.